Welcome in, everyone. Get ready to dive deep with us as we unpack what's been going on in the world of global film and TV production.
We're talking trends, data, the whole shebang, all based on what's been happening over the past 33 months. Oh, and we've got the inside scoop on last month's numbers, too, September 2024.
It's like peeking behind a curtain of the entertainment industry, right? Seeing what's hot, what's not, and what it all means for the shows and movies we love to watch.
And let me tell you, things are definitely interesting out there, especially right now. It's like this constant push and pull between, you know, that desire for fresh new content and then, bam, that pressure to make choices that are, well, safe.
Yeah.
Profitable. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And that whole balancing act, totally evident when you look at the numbers. Global production volume actually dipped by 10% this September compared to August.
Right. Yeah. A 10% dip. But you can't just look at one month in isolation, right? You got to see the bigger picture. In the past 3 years, it's been a wild ride. Remember like early 2022?
Oh, yeah. Everyone was back in action after, well, you know. It felt like every other day, boom, a new show was shattering those streaming records.
Exactly. Everyone was eager to make up for lost time. It was like a content explosion. But, and there's always a but, right? Wall Street, they started getting those jitters, pumping the brakes on media stocks.
And then, to add fuel to the fire, the war in Europe threw a wrench in the global economy. Suddenly, those mega-budget blockbusters not feeling so certain anymore.
Exactly. Suddenly, those big bets felt a whole lot riskier. And then, just as things were kind of finding a new normal, the Hollywood writer and actor strikes hit in 23. Production schedules out the window.
Talk about a 1-2 punch. Definitely threw the industry for a loop. So how did 2024 even start off after all that? Was there any light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, the year began with like this burst of energy, a spike in productions, all thanks to those big season renewals.
Mm-hmm.
Studios were putting their money on the familiar, hoping those established shows would, you know, carry them through.
Right, kind of like sticking with what you know works. But did it? I mean, the September numbers aren't exactly painting a picture of runaway success.
Yeah, about that. It seems that initial optimism kind of fizzled out as the year progressed, which leads us to those interesting regional differences we're seeing.
Right, because it wasn't all doom and gloom, was it? Some areas actually saw a production increase, even with the global slowdown, like Australia, New Zealand, and the EMEA region.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that things aren't always so cut and dry. This isn't a one-size-fits-all situation. And within EMEA, there's this whole thing happening in Africa, which is super interesting.
Yeah, tell us more about that. What's going on over there?
Basically, you have streamers and broadcasters. They're seeing the potential there, and they're commissioning more and more productions in places like, well, all over Africa, actually. Mm. And often in languages like English, obviously, but also Africans and Arabic.
Wow. So it's like the industry is diversifying where it sets its sights,
mm-hmm.
even amidst a global downturn. Makes you wonder what's driving that focused growth in those specific regions.
Right. It's like they're finding these pockets of opportunity and saying, hey, there's a story to tell here. And speaking of stories, let's zoom in on September 2024.
Okay, so September 2024. And just so everyone knows, we're pulling this data from Vitrina, which tracks productions all the way from those early financing stages, you know, like when there's just a glimmer in someone's eye, all the way to that green light.
They're like the detectives of development, Vitrina.
Yeah.
And what they're seeing is, well, drama is still king.
Still top dog, huh? With documentaries and comedies trailing behind. So basically, scripted content still reigns supreme, making up a whopping 69% of productions.
It's like viewers have this endless appetite for drama. And it really makes you wonder, why is that? Is it just that we as humans are hardwired for a good dose of conflict and resolution? Or is there something more to it? Like maybe the way drama, with its emphasis on characters and all those intricate storylines, maybe that just resonates more across different cultures and languages.
Right, because yeah, everyone loves a good story, but maybe there are some genres that just translate better on a global scale. And speaking of global appeal, did you see the numbers for languages used in these productions? English is still like the big kahuna at 38%, but Japanese productions, they're having a moment. A big one.
Oh, yeah. September was huge for Japanese productions.
Yeah.
And get this, 70%, a full 70% of those were manga or anime.
70%. It's like those audiences are so passionate, so dedicated that they're practically a force to be reckoned with, which, you know, leads me to wonder
how the streaming giants are navigating all of this. You know, you're right to zero in on the streamers, because that's where things get really interesting. We're talking a 10% dip in global production this past September.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But get this, streaming platforms, they were steady at 20% of the total production volume.
So even with everything we've talked about, like economic uncertainty, those industry strikes, they just shrugged it off.
It's wild, right? Seems like they might be a bit more, well, adaptable than those traditional studios. Why? My guess. It's their global reach. They're not stuck relying on just one market. So if, let's say, North America takes a dip, they can lean on Europe or Asia. You following me?
Okay, yeah. It's like, instead of putting all their eggs in one basket, they've got this diversified portfolio. Only, you know, instead of stocks, it's like movies and shows.
Bingo. And don't forget their secret weapon data. They're all about that data-driven approach, you know? Allows them to zero in on those niche markets like the manga and anime thing we were talking about. They can cater to these super specific audiences in a way that traditional studios just, well, they struggle with it sometimes.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. But are they actually taking risks on new projects in this climate, or are they, like, clinging to those tried and true formulas?
It's a bit of both, actually. But they're strategic about it, right? Like, look at Netflix, Prime Video, the BBC. They're still the top dogs commissioning up a storm, even with everything going on.
Yeah.
Seems like they're willing to weather the storm, keep investing in content, even if it means shaking things up a bit.
Okay, so how are they adapting? What's the game plan here?
Efficiency. It's all about efficiency, really.
Yeah.
Look, production financing, it's gotten so much more risk-averse. But streamers, they're pros at finding creative ways to, well, to stretch those budgets.
So less, let's throw money at this, and more, time to get scrappy.
Exactly. And what does that mean for the shows we watch? Well, we're seeing a resurgence of those proven formats. Mm. Like remakes, reboots, you know the drill.
Ah, so it's, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but for television.
You got it. In uncertain times, people. They find comfort in the familiar. It's a safer bet. Plus, it lets them put a fresh spin on those stories we all know and love. Look at the rise of local adaptations. It's huge right now.
Oh, right. It's like taking a winning formula from one place and then, bam, you adapt it for a whole new audience. Like, wasn't House of Cards originally a British miniseries? And then Netflix turned it into, well, you know, a massive hit here.
Exactly. It's the perfect example. Those local adaptations, they tap into a built-in fan base, but they also bring something new to the table.
Yeah.
Win-win for everyone involved.
Okay, so that's clever. But they can't just, like, keep rebooting Friends forever, right? I mean, what about the demand for original content?
You're preaching to the choir. There's definitely still that hunger for something new, something fresh.
Yeah.
And that's where things get really interesting. Think, like, documentaries, true crime, factual programming, stuff that doesn't require those massive budgets of your typical drama or sci-fi epic.
Right, so less Game of Thrones, more like Planet Earth territory.
Now you're getting it. These genres, they're all about strong storytelling, but without the need for those crazy sets, the costumes, the special effects. Plus, they tap into that growing audience for, well, reality, for stories that feel, you know, real, relevant to what's happening in the world right now.
It's really amazing how the industry adapts. I mean, talk about a masterclass in efficiency. But they're also finding these new creative avenues. It's like, instead of rooks and pawns, they're playing with production budgets and audience demographics.
Yeah. Oh, and let's not forget the wild card in all of this.
Hmm.
Governments, they play a role too, you know.
Wait, really? How so?
We're talking tax incentives, big ones. Countries all over the world, especially in Latin America, the Asia Pacific, even the EU, they're like, hey, come film here. We've got tax breaks for you. All to try to lure those productions in.
So it's not just about what to make, but also where to make it.
Exactly. Studios, they get a nice little financial boost. And these countries, they get a surge in economic activity. Everyone wins. Well, except maybe those countries that aren't offering the tax breaks. But hey, that's showbiz, right?
It's a wild world out there. But let's get real for a second. Mm. What does all of this mean for the average viewer, the person at home, you know, streaming this right now? Because at the end of the day, they're the ones driving this whole thing.
$1 million question, right? And here's the thing. Will this whole, like, adaptation phase lead to some crazy creative boom? Will these tighter budgets and everyone being so risk-averse, will it force creators to think outside the box?
So maybe we'll see a bunch of low-budget indie darlings taking the world by storm.
It's possible, right? I mean, okay. Stranger things have happened. But on the other hand, there's always that danger of, like, everything starting to look and feel the same.
A content echo chamber.
Exactly. If everyone is so focused on what's worked before, if no one wants to take a chance on something new, something risky, then things could get really boring really fast.
So are we headed for a creative renaissance or a content black hole where everything looks and feels the same? What's the takeaway for viewers trying to navigate this ever-changing landscape?
Honestly, you, the viewer, you have more power than ever. It's all about being a discerning viewer. Don't just stick to what you know. Break free, venture out, explore those genres and platforms you'd normally scroll right past.
It's easy to get stuck in our routines watching the same kind of stuff over and over again. But sometimes those hidden gems, those shows that really blow you away, they're hiding in plain sight. You just gotta know where to look.
Exactly. And here's a hot tip. Word of mouth is everything. Those smaller, more innovative projects. They gain traction through recommendations, through online communities, people like you saying, hey, this is amazing, you gotta check it out.
So be adventurous, be picky, and don't be shy about sharing what you love. Because ultimately, the audience has a huge influence on what gets made.
Couldn't agree more. And keep an eye on those big players too. Netflix, Prime Video, the BBC. They're always at the forefront, testing out new formats, dipping their toes into different genres, what they choose to invest in. Well, it kind of gives you a glimpse into the future.
They're like those cool kids in school, setting the trends everyone else follows.
Exactly. So what are they greenlighting? What are they pouring money into? That's your crystal ball right there. But, and there's always a but, right?
Yeah.
There's something else we need to talk about, something we haven't really touched on yet.
Okay, you've got my attention. What's the missing link in all of this?
It's easy to get caught up in the data, the trends, the whole economic side of things. But we can't forget about the heart of it all. Right?
Human element.
Exactly. Those talented writers, those directors with a vision, the actors pouring their hearts out on screen, the incredible crews working behind the scenes. These are passionate people dedicating their lives to their craft.
Right.
And they're the ones who bring those stories to life.
It's true. We see the finished product, that polished show or that movie that makes us laugh or cry, and we don't always think about all those hours of work, all that creative energy that goes into making it happen.
Right. But it's important to remember those stories, those moments of connection, those emotional experiences. That's what it's all about.
Couldn't agree more. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the wild world of global film and TV production, let's all remember, it's not just about algorithms and spreadsheets and like who has the biggest budget. It's about the power of story, the power to move us, to challenge us, to help us see the world in a whole new light.
Beautifully said. And at the end of the day, it's a collaboration, isn't it? Between the creators and the viewers, and personally. I'm excited to see where this journey takes us.
Me too. And to everyone listening, keep exploring, keep watching. And keep those deep dive conversations going. Who knows what amazing stories we'll uncover together? We'll catch you next time for another behind-the-scenes look at the world of entertainment.